This is John from the FreeGiftFromGod.com podcast. Today I'm taking a new approach, a new series that I'm going to look at, and I want to look over the next few sessions that I do at the armour of God. Christians, we are at war, and I think we all know that we are at war, but that war is growing more and more intense, and we need to be fully armed and fully prepared to be able to wage this war that is coming upon us and that is upon us now. So I'm looking at the armour of God, and I'm going to take each of the pieces of armour. The scriptures that it comes from in overview comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 18. And I'll just read that section in a moment. But the things I want to look at in relation to the first of the pieces of armour, which is truth, is to look at what truth is, where the source of truth comes from, and how we need to take hold of that truth. So the scripture that this all comes from is in Ephesians 6, 13 to 18, and it says this: "Therefore take the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith, with which you can quench all of the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." So here we see this is a description of the spiritual armour that is the armour of God. And we are told in that first verse that we need to take the whole armour of God. We can't stand and we can't fight this war with only bits and pieces of it. You can't have one part and not have another. It's like a soldier. When a soldier goes to war, they need to be fully kitted out for war. They need to have all of the armour and the weapons that they need to be able to wage war. And it's no different for us. If we don't have all of these weapons, we are going to stand vulnerable. So the first thing I want to look at, the first scripture I want to look at, is a very interesting question, because I'm looking today at truth. In that scripture it said, "Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth." So I want to look at truth first. But there's an interesting question that Pontius Pilate asked of Jesus. And we see this in John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38, where he said this: "Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?' After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, 'I find no crime in him.'" Now, this is a very perceptive question that Pilate asked. Now, I don't think he even realised what it was he was asking. But he asked Jesus, saying, "What is truth?" Jesus said that he came to bear witness to the truth, and Pilate said, "What is truth?" So this is one of the questions that we want to answer today. What is truth? What is the truth? There are all kinds of things that are fed to us as truth. All kinds of things that people state are the truth. But what is the real truth? The first part of this answer we find in John chapter 17, verse 17. And it says this: "Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." So this is the first insight we get. The word of God, this is the word of the Father, is the truth. So the word of God is the truth. So when we're trying to understand what is truth, we need to first look at the word of God, because the word of God is truth. And what we see also in this scripture is the first word, sanctify. Now, sanctify means to make holy. And when we are in the truth, and when we are fully in the truth, and when the Lord leads us in his truth, then we are made holy as Christ is holy. And we see that there as we read that verse again. Sanctify them in the truth. Make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. Now we go on and we learn a little bit more about this truth, where Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So if we look back at that previous scripture where he said, sanctify them in the truth, and that the word of the Father is truth, Jesus tells us, well, you can't come to the Father unless you come via Jesus. And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So if we want to find the truth, we need to first understand that the word of God is the truth and that Jesus is the truth. And when we take those two points as foundations of seeking the truth, then we can't go too far wrong. And we can then gird ourselves in the truth, if we consider and we always listen to the word of God and we always listen to what Jesus had to say, then we will be in the truth as he is in the truth. We see a little bit more in John chapter 1, verses 14 and 17. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' for he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now there's a couple of quite interesting points in this. The first thing we see is that the Word, who was Jesus, came and dwelt amongst us full of grace and truth. And again, it shows that Jesus is the truth. And Jesus, who was the Word, is also speaking the words of truth. And we have beheld his glory. Now, the other thing we see is in the last verse of that, where it says, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now, what's it saying? It's saying here that there is a greater truth that comes through grace through Jesus Christ. This truth is a greater truth than what existed in the law. Now, there's nothing wrong with the law, and it says the law was given through Moses, but it's saying that the truth, the real truth, the truth that is the Word of God, is greater than the law. It's something that's set apart from the law. It's something that you will see separate from the law, because there is a distinct dividing line in these words of Jesus. The law was given through Moses. That was one part. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's the second part. So we need to look to Jesus Christ and accept the grace of God and find this truth that comes through Jesus Christ. And we won't find it through the law. And we know in other places where it says you cannot find righteousness through law, you can only find righteousness through faith. And faith is part of the truth. So it's important that we understand that distinction. The next scripture I want to look at is in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, certainly amongst Christians. And it's that verse in verse 31 where it says, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Now, we all know these words, "the truth will make you free." But how many of us have actually found the truth? How many of us are actually looking at the truth? Now, we saw there in that previous verse that truth is separate from the law. But how many Christians in this world continue to try and find the way to God through the law? There's nothing wrong with the law, don't get me wrong there. But the truth is separate from the law. And what he's showing us here in this verse in John 8, 31 to 36, is that there is a very important distinction here. Because after he said the truth will make you free, the Jews answered him saying, "We're descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free?" Now, that's an interesting point, because they're saying, well, we're not bound by anyone. You know, we don't kowtow to anyone. We don't bow down to anyone. You know, we are not in bondage. How is it that they say you'll be free? And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." So here we see this distinction between bondage and freedom. Anyone who sins, anyone who commits sin, is a slave to sin. They are in bondage under sin. And if they are sinning, then they are breaking the law, because that's what sin is. It's breaking the law. Well, one of the most important parts of sin is about breaking the law. And so if they're breaking the law, then they are in bondage under the law, because they're saying, "I'm a sinner, therefore I am breaking the law." So it's important that we understand this distinction, because Jesus then goes on and says, the slave, this is the sinner, does not continue in the house forever, but rather the son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, now what's he saying he's making you free from? He's going to make you free from sin. And how's he going to make you free from sin? Well, he's got to take away sin, but also to prevent you from sinning again, he's got to take away the law. And this is what he did. And we all know we've been set free from sin. We've been set free from the law. And so that's when he said, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You no longer need to fear the condemnation that comes under the law. You no longer need to fear sin because you have been set free from sin. The Son has made you free. And that's why he says the truth will make you free. Why? Because Jesus is the truth. The Word of God is the truth. And these are the things that will make you free. They will make you free from sin, but they will also make you free from the law. Because we know from John 1, 14 to 17, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And that's where we will find freedom. Under the law, we found bondage. Moses brought the people into bondage. They were being taught right from wrong. They needed to know these things. But truth sets us free from bondage. The next scripture I'm looking at is in John chapter 4, reading verses 23 and 24. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, once again, we see this point of truth. If we are to worship God, if we are to worship the Father, and this is how he seeks his people to worship him, we need to worship in spirit and in truth. We need this truth, and the truth that we're finding is the truth that comes from Jesus Christ and the truth that is the Word of God. So if we're going to worship God using the Word of God, using the truth that is in Jesus, then we have to come and worship him according to the process and the plans and the ways that he set forth. This is the truth. We need to find his truth and worship according to that. Now, there are many, many processes used in the churches where people come to worship or so-called worship that have nothing to do with the truth. Let me give you an example. I know in certain churches, people go in and they light candles. Nowhere in the Bible are we called to light candles in church. It's not part of the truth. It's not a true teaching. It's not part of the Word of God. That kind of worship is an absolute waste of time. It's absolutely pointless. And there are many, many other things that are taught in various churches that have nothing to do with the truth. So what this tells us is we must find the truth. If we're going to gird our loins with truth to be able to wage spiritual war, taking on the whole armour of God, then we have to find the true truth, not these false truths, which are just lies. The next scripture I'll have a look at is in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. What we see here is that the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, here it's called the Spirit of Truth. This is the counselor that's come to us. This is the counsel that we receive, the Holy Spirit who comes to man since Jesus died. Because when he died, he sent the counselor to us, as it says in another place in the book of John. So the important thing that we see out of this is that the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit teaches the truth. The Spirit counsels and guides and nudges us and shows us the way of truth, because the Spirit speaks on behalf of God the Father and on behalf of Jesus Christ to teach us and to lead us. And as it says there in John 14, 16 to 17, it says, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. At that point, he was talking to the disciples. The Holy Spirit dwelt with the disciples. But when Jesus died and left, they received the Holy Spirit to indwell within them, which is what took place at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and they heard the sound of rushing winds and saw flames of fire resting on each of the disciples. So the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Now it's important, if we're going to worship God, and in the previous verse it said the Father seeks people to worship him in spirit and truth, then we need the Spirit. And part of the truth is the fact that we need to receive the Holy Spirit so that we can learn the truth. These two are very, very closely connected. The next scripture takes this a step even further in John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now again, we see this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that says when he comes. So when he comes within us, He will guide you into all the truth. So one of the first things that we need to understand out of this is you need to receive the Holy Spirit if you are to be guided into all the truth. Because you can't be guided into all the truth until, as it says, when the Spirit of truth comes. If the Spirit of truth hasn't come, how can he guide you into the truth? And then it says, he will not speak on his own authority. So the Spirit of truth doesn't say what he wants to say. He speaks on the authority of the Father and on the authority of Jesus Christ. Whatever he hears, he will speak. And we know from another scripture that he has access to the complete power and knowledge of God to be able to help us and to transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And this is what he is doing. He will declare to you the things that are to come. So he wants to keep us in the know. He wants to give us the knowledge to understand what is coming upon the world. He wants us to understand and know the things that are happening. He doesn't leave us in the dark. And this is not the will of the Father or the will of Jesus Christ either. They do not want to leave their people in the dark. They want their people to know what is happening. And that's why he gave us the Bible. That's why he's given us the prophets. That's why he gives the gift of prophecy through the working of the Holy Spirit today. The next scripture I'm looking at is in Psalms 145, verse 18. It says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. One of the things that I said before is that if we're going to come to Christ, and if God is going to be near us, if the Lord is going to be near us, then we need to come to him in the truth. And the way that he taught, the way that he showed, the path that he showed is the pathway of truth. We can't come through another path. And I mentioned before about lighting candles. Lighting candles is a waste of time because it's not truth. The Lord's not going to be near to something that's false. If you want to come to him, find the truth, seek the truth, learn the truth. Then when you call upon him in truth, the Lord will be near you. He will be there when you call to him. And the last scripture I want to look at here is in Proverbs 23, verse 23, where it says, buy truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Now, these words, when he's saying buy truth, he's saying get it. Whatever you got to do, whatever you need to trade for it, get the truth and don't sell it. Don't give it up. Seek the truth, find the truth, and hold fast to the truth, because that's going to be the mechanism and the way in which we are going to find salvation and the way in which we are going to be able to defeat the devil and the attacks of the devil when they come against us. A couple of points here to consider. You can see now how important this truth is and what this truth is. It's not part of the law. It's separate from the law. It's necessary to be able to worship the Father. It comes from the Father. The truth is the Word of God, and the truth is Jesus, who said, I am the way and the truth of the life. So think about these things. These are important points. And when you do seek the truth, seek the Holy Spirit to be able to receive the truth and to be guided into the truth. And I recommend now just a short prayer point. Pray to the Lord now and ask him to lead you into all of the truth. Pray to the Lord and ask him to find the truth. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, and trust me, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will know that you have received the Holy Spirit. There'll be no doubt at all about it. But if you haven't received the Holy Spirit or aren't sure, ask the Lord to seek the Holy Spirit so that you've got his Spirit, who will be the counselor to guide you and lead you into all of the truth. So that's it for this session. I'm going to continue on with this session next time, and I'll look at the next part of the armor of God next time, which is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. So this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast wishing you a great week, and I hope that you seek the truth, find the truth, and I'll catch you again in a week's time.